I woke up and went directly to Dunkin' Donuts because that's what I do most days.
Mm.
And that's why I'm fat. Do you remember in college? Do you remember in college when I went to dinner at your dad's house?
Yeah.
And your stepmom, I think, was like, "And what have you been up to, Dave?" And I was like, "Just sitting around waiting to get fat."
Oh yeah.
Well, it only took 19 years.
Yeah. Well, you made it. Mission accomplished.
I made it. We're back. It's us. It's what are the other things we say at the beginning of this podcast?
It's another week. No, we don't ever say that.
No. Okay. Well, it is another week. It's another week in paradise in my basement.
We say our names.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I say though is welcome to the Fantasy Outliers podcast, brought to you by FantasyOutliers.com. This is Dave,
and this is other Dave.
And we are here.
You forgot that there's country music playing.
Oh, there is country music playing.
Or there was, maybe.
It certainly ended by now.
Yeah.
Although it's interesting, when you cut the podcast, you have it stop.
Yeah.
When Chris cuts the podcast,
it goes like
we talk over it, and it's like this cacophony of like spoken word over.
Well, yeah, because the lyrics start coming in.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris,
you got to blend
it in. Not a fan
of
that choice.
You got to blend it in real quiet.
But that's okay.
I like the struts, the Kentucky struts, but not over top of the podcast.
Yeah. Not as good as the Kentucky Daves.
Hmm. That's not a thing.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're back. It's Monday night. The podcast is out a little early this week because it's Thanksgiving.
It is.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
We're going to be, I'm going to be traveling, so... Yes. Maybe not able to hold to the big schedule, the usual Wednesday night recording, but so we're trying to do, this is kind of like an emergency podcast, I guess.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a 538 style emergency podcast.
That's what I was thinking of. I wasn't going to reference that, but...
It's fine.
All right.
We have to get these hot insights out to you as fast as possible so that you have something to listen to when you want to break from your family on Turkey Day. So as we transition to football... What's the what thing in fantasy are you most grateful for this year?
What am I?
On one of your teams. Give me your favorite player.
My favorite player?
Yeah, your thankful boy.
We talked about this last week. I think I'm most thankful for Russell Wilson turning it around this year.
Do you have Russell Wilson on your teams?
I have him in one league, yeah.
Okay.
I drafted him on purpose.
Yep.
Not by accident.
Right.
And it was because of MathBox.
Well, there you go.
So... I was real worried at the beginning of the year, and, you know, I'm not so worried anymore.
That's pretty good.
That's all I got. Sorry, that's not very good.
I like that. I think that there's two. Like, one is Travis Kelce.
Actually being for real?
Yeah, being pretty incredible this year.
Oh, Zach Ertz,
awesome.
Too.
Zach
Same
Ertz
situation.
Yeah.
Got him because of MathBox.
Yep.
He was higher than other ratings, and he's been so consistent this year.
Yeah, he's been incredible this year. I think for me, the big one was, so I was extremely thankful for Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz before Watson got injured. So now it's just me and my buddy Wentz. Mm-hmm. I'm also super thankful this year for beating our league emperor with my terrible shambles of a team that had four people on the bench. Where I started Alex Smith this week and I still managed to beat a team that started Antonio Brown.
Wow. Man, so he must have been awful other than Antonio Brown.
It was really bad. He got 90 points and Antonio Brown put up 42.
Yeah, I had him on one team. Three touchdowns. This is incredible.
Yep.
About time.
So
I beat him with a kicker and you beat him,
I beat him
with Alex Smith.
Well, I beat him with, I really beat him with Brandon Cooks.
Hmm. That'll do it.
Yep. So this week, predictions. Let's talk about it for a minute before we dive in.
Yeah, so it's Monday night, and...
And we're watching the game. It's halftime in Monday Night Football.
Yeah, Atlanta-Seattle. So we don't have much on that yet, because it's still going on. But this week is a little different than other weeks, just because it's Monday. Usually we compare MathBox predictions to ECR, Expert Consensus Rankings, just to kind of give a baseline of... you know, what other people are thinking versus what we're thinking.
Right.
And that's, we don't have that this week because it's Monday and they're not even out yet.
Right. So. And we also update the rankings every week
based
after
on
play
all
is
new.
Finished. So, you know, we get done with the week, the stats are all tabulated. Chris goes in and updates all of his projections for every week for the rest of the season. Then we repost those and base all our content for the week off of that. So we don't have that this week. What we have is our week 12 rankings and values based on stats up to week 10.
Right.
So these are our predictions based on the entire season, plus the player's track record, like all the data that MathBox uses, except for the results of this, of week 11.
So it's accurate, but it's not as accurate as it probably would be if we had all the, you know, all the scoring in this week.
We're going to talk a little bit less about rankings this week, I think, and more about different situations that we see and whether MathBox likes or doesn't like somebody. So we're probably going to keep it in a little bit kind of slightly more vague terms than talking about so-and-so is number 20 versus number 15 type of stuff.
Right.
So just wanted to get that out of the way first. The other thing that I wanted to plug here, because Chris has been working really hard on it, is he is just about done with what he's calling version 0.2. of the rankings, so it's kind of a major update.
The weekly predictions model.
Weekly predictions model, yeah. I think of them as the rankings. I shouldn't do that. But it's the weekly predictions model, projections model, should be ready to go later this week. So he may be able to make that available later this week or early next week for new and updated rankings.
Yeah, it should have potentially some new metrics in it. I don't know exactly what is in point two. But it, you know, the more features and the more things we get in there, it's just going to become more accurate.
Right. So
we're starting to do things like tie quarterback performance to wide receiver performance and things like that.
Right.
So when situations change, quarterbacks change, you know, wide receivers should adjust quicker.
Right.
Things like that.
It's that. Perfect. So like we do every week when we look at the projections, let's talk about quarterbacks. Kind of a tough week.
For some
quarterbacks.
People.
So I think that we should start with one situation in particular, and that is we spent a long time last week talking about one game in particular, which was the New York Giants versus the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did
that did not really work out the way anyone thought it would work out.
It did not work out the way anybody thought it would. We talked a lot about how each of those defenses were ranked as very close to the best. As far as giving up points,
giving up the most points to quarterbacks,
most points to, well, to every position, each of them gives up a lot of fantasy points to every offensive position. I believe that New York Giants were basically last in every category, and Kansas City was basically like 29th around in every category.
Yeah, so Alex Smith was really high last week.
Yes.
Per MathBox, and I think other people too.
Yes.
So per that matchup, and well, he's been good all year, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't really work out.
Didn't work out great. So I started Smith over Kirk Cousins, for example, like I said I was going to last week, and that cost me net, like, I think it was a net of like 20 points between the two, because Cousins actually, in spite of all the craziness at the end of that Redskins-Saints game, he did... Cousins still put up a lot of points, but you know, so I think that it just bears talking about.
It was a weird game.
It was a weird game. Like there was weather that people were tweeting us about, asking questions about if we were worried about Smith in the gale force winds that were going to be happening in New Jersey. And, you know, I think that it's just, first off, MathBox does not have weather metrics in it yet. But secondly, I don't think anybody's good at predicting what weather's going to be like at game time and how it's going to affect someone's game plan. I mean, just think about some of those blizzard games that we saw where Tom Brady threw like five touchdowns and crazy stuff like that.
Also, you'd have to be able to predict it 4 days out or 5 days out to be able to do anything relevant with it. I mean,
right.
So I it's just not fair to expect it to to be able to predict that.
So at any rate, we also messaged against it a little bit on Twitter. So a little bit of a mea culpa here, although I think that we still like Alex Smith going forward as someone that you could start as a top 10 option, as better options have attrited away and Alex Smith has continued to have a good year.
Yeah.
With the exception of the last game, basically.
Another weird one I have to own up to is I've been talking down Big Ben for several weeks, pointing out week over week that he is not performing at the level that everyone thinks he's going to perform at. Well, he finally blew up.
Yeah.
So,
and I started him against your brother.
Yeah, great. Well, he had 29 points. I mean, look, they pretty much blew out Tennessee.
Yeah.
He had 4 TDs.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mathbox had him really high at the beginning of the year, and this is what it was expecting him to do based off of all his weapons, we assume.
Right.
But, you know, so look, he scored 10 points more than he has the entire year.
Yeah. I mean, it was a middle of the road matchup for a guy that was rostered a lot at the beginning of the year and had become much less rostered, was available as a streaming option. I started him as a streaming option in a league where I had drafted him and dropped him mm-hmm. for other players and then came back. I don't think you should beat yourself up too much about it. Although I do think that this just sort of reaffirms that Roethlisberger should be on people's radar for streaming. He's going to be like a top 16, top 15 quarterback for the rest of the year,
and
I
think. Probably where he deserves to be. I mean, he was tracking low 20s earlier in the season.
And he's had a couple of reasonable starts in a row.
Yeah, he is trending up. So,
but
fine, start Big Ben if you want to.
He's never going to be top. I only bring that up by saying he's not going to be top 12. Like, he's not going to be someone who should be a must start in a league.
I don't think so.
He's for someone like me who's out in the cold because other teams have both Carson Wentz and Tom Brady in the league that you're in, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think we should go back to Kirk Cousins for 1 second. Cousins is projected as our number 2 quarterback this week in the same tasty matchup that we had for Alex Smith last week. He's playing the Giants this week. You don't suddenly think that the Giants are some kind of defensive force, do you?
I don't think so. No. I think it was just a weird fluke game.
Yes, I totally agree. And I think that there's an equal or better chance that Kirk Cousins is going to light up the Giants. And
yeah, the point is, you're not going to sit Kirk Cousins because of what happened this week in week 11 to Alex Smith. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
No way.
And Cousins had a huge game this week against the Saints. So I think it's just...
And the Saints are a good D, so... Yeah. He's fine. I think it's going to be fine. It's just one weird game.
Yeah. The natural order has returned, and Tom Brady is back in our top 5 of quarterbacks. He's number mm-hmm. 3. He has a good matchup against Miami. We're sorry, Tom Brady, that we made fun of you and said that Alex Smith was better than you. If you hear this, don't send your robots after us, the evil Brady bots. Next person I want to talk about for a minute. Two people, I guess, I want to talk about. One really quickly is Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
Number 8 on our list. Even though I said I wasn't going to talk too much about ranks, he's in the top 10 in a tough matchup against Minnesota. I think he's startable. I mean, I definitely think he's startable and solidly top 10, and he's been good, and he's going to continue to be good. So just a little check-in on Stafford there for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a good matchup, but he'll probably be fine.
Yes. I think he'll be way more fine, for example, than the guy who's below him right now in the ranks, which is Derek Carr. Boy, I watched a lot of that Oakland-New England game.
Mm-hmm. Brutal.
It just looked awful.
They were just terrible.
Oakland was so bad, it looked like they couldn't really get anything.
Could you tell what was going on?
I mean, I wish I could. Like, it just looked like... I mean, there were a few drop passes. It just mostly looked like Carr just sort of was picking his spots like late and getting the ball out late.
Timing was off.
And it was just like throwing it. It just felt like it was never going to the guy that it should have and all kinds of stuff. Like Crabtree tried to make a couple of amazing, he had some good catches. He also tried to make a couple of like amazing recoveries on balls that were just like not really with him.
Yeah,
just
not really catchable.
Yeah. It just, he looked lost. Oakland looked lost. And well, so
that'll happen when you play the Patriots sometimes.
Yeah, but their defense isn't any good.
I know.
It hasn't been any good all year.
That is true. Yeah. That is true.
But I think every time I see him in the top 10 from now on, I'm going to be real suspicious. Like, if I'm a Derek Carr owner, I'm looking at Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I guess I could see that.
I mean, I'm looking at...
I mean, he has been higher in our ranks pretty much all year.
He's been top 10 all year.
Yeah. So... I don't know. Mathbox would disagree, but
even as Clay pointed out last week in his write up about this, he basically said, "I don't think that Carr's going to do anything against New England," mm-hmm. and he was right.
He called it, yeah,
yeah. And I have to agree. Watching mm-hmm. it, watching last week's game, and looking at this now, there's no way I'm going over there.
Well, I mean, they're much closer in the ranks this week, even without considering Ben Roethlisberger's
production last week.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's 13 on our list. So actually right behind C.J. Beathard, who was on bye, which is kind of hilarious. I mean, he's going against Seattle, which is, you know, pretty good deal.
Woof, right?
I know. I don't know if I buy that. I mean, he was trending up. There's no reason to suggest that he would be awful because he was doing fine before. But I don't know. It's just so raw. It's just so new.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I'm looking hard again at our juicy boy, Blake Bortles. Oh. If I'm in streaming categories, he's got a better matchup. Did you forget about our t-shirt already?
Oh yeah.
Hashtag juicy.
Juicy. His juicy
Blake
matchup.
Bortles is juicy. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And he was all right last week. And I think that he could help you, still help you as a streamer if you're in that bucket where you're just in trouble.
Yeah, I another name that I was looking at is Case Keenum.
Yes.
Mathbox has him as number 24, and it feels like in Minnesota they're trying to get rid of him, but he's just too good and they can't bench him.
Well, so, it's just like they want to bring back Bridgewater.
Yeah.
And they just
But he's been pretty solid. I mean, he's been around 18 points. I think he had 24 this past week, so he's solidly startable.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think that he's on a team where, you know, he's got great receivers in Diggs mm-hmm. and Thielen. He's definitely somebody that you could throw out there as a spot starter.
He's not one of those sexy names, but the guy's been putting up decent numbers. So if you need a guy,
there you go.
I could see it. Yeah.
Last name to talk about in quarterbacks, at least on my list, Tyrod Taylor and Nathan Peterman.
Not Peterson.
Right. Peterson, as you called him last week. But you know what? It doesn't matter because I don't know if we're ever going to hear from Nathan Peterson again.
Throw five interceptions in the first quarter.
It was first half.
I think he threw five interceptions in the first pass that he threw.
Yeah, at once.
They were all returned for touchdowns.
It was kind of this baseball stars move or future baseball stars from SNES
where the ball split into
five different balls and they were all intercepted.
I like that. Yeah, I have a habit of taking the off-brand NFL players and mispronouncing their last names.
It's all right.
I did it to Harrison Butker,
yeah,
the kicker for the Chiefs the other week. I called him Harrison Butler.
Well, and we do it to Brett Hundley all the time, even though we love the guy a little bit.
I love that song.
So Tyrod Taylor is back, apparently. We'll see what happens, I guess. I mean, I only wanted to bring that up just because we were both sitting here on the last podcast going, I know people say Tyrod Taylor is bad from like a fundamental quarterback kind of.
Yeah, but he's like a...
I read a bunch of like long read articles, like sports think pieces this weekend about why benching Tyrod Taylor was okay. And I'm just reading it the whole time going like, these are well-reasoned arguments, but this just feels like the type of thing that's just not going to work out well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also depends on who's behind him.
That is exactly what I was just going to say. It's not just about the person that is playing being terrible. It's about the person behind them being much, 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 potentially much worse.
Like high school quarterback.
Right. I mean, it looked that way. I don't know anything about the guy, but, you know, fifth round draft quarterback from last year. Why nobody's knocking down the door to get that guy into a game right now.
No.
So I don't know what's going to happen from here with that. But Taylor did put up like 20 points in the second half.
Taylor's going to start. Wouldn't it be hilarious if they started Peterman again?
I don't know.
Just to be mean to Tyrod Taylor.
Well, that's a whole other flavor of NFL think pieces that are out there right now. But we won't get into that.
All right. So that's
it for quarterbacks.
Running backs.
Moving on to running backs.
Let's go.
Yep. So you got your Le'Veon Bell, you got your Gurley, you got your Hunt. Nothing surprising there. You got Melvin Gordon at number four this week, where I think a lot of people would expect him. There's been this whole like controversy in the fantasy world about like him versus Austin Eckler and carries and snaps and everything. For me, at least this week, Gordon got 20 carries, he got 80 yards, and he got a touchdown. Okay.
That's what you want.
14 points. it's consistent usage with a good number of yards coming out of it and one score, which is pretty much what you want out of a running back one. So I don't know if that controversy is like put to bed, because Eckler's definitely got a lot of, he also got around 15 points doing other stuff, being involved in the passing game and things like that.
It's higher than I would have expected.
But it seems like it doesn't impact Gordon as much as people maybe thought it might. Yeah, I have his scores right here. He was 6 for 40 with a touchdown and 2 for 18, so he was around 15 points. So he actually only got 2 receptions and 18 yards, but he also had 6 runs and a touchdown. So he's involved, and maybe that's okay for someone who's a flex.
Sure.
But if I'm a Gordon owner, I'm feeling fine, and I'm feeling fine about him as my running back one.
Yeah. I mean, you're starting him. That's the point.
Yep. Leonard Fournette, everybody, let me tell you, on Sunday when I was live tweeting, like, advice to people on the fantasy football advice hashtag, I found so many questions about Fournette and so many people who wanted to tweet about Fournette.
Why do you think that was?
Well, it was because of the injury news. Oh. Everybody was like, well, if he's injured, should I start X over him? Should I start Y over him? Mm-hmm. The really interesting thing is that ESPN was putting out content basically saying, don't be surprised if Fournette gets pulled early in the game because his ankle is sensitive.
Right.
And then I didn't get to watch this particular game, but he got 100 yards rushing. He played the whole game. I'm not sure what the snap split was like, but he was enough out there to, again, be someone who's involved enough to have the type of carries that you expect to get from your number one running back. But there were people who were saying crazy things to me, like, hey, should I start Buck Allen over Leonard Fournette?
No.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yes.
There's no way.
It's super crazy. People were really thinking about it. The thing is, I mean, if Fournette's injury had been worse, I would have been more worried about it. He has been out of the lineup lately, yeah, and out of practice lately. He's also had some off-the-field issues.
Yeah, he didn't show up for the team picture that one week and got benched. And they sat him.
Yeah.
Idiot.
So, exactly, idiot stuff. But even though he's, he's got a rough matchup this week against Arizona, who's sixth best against the run, basically, there's no reason. It didn't look like there was any reason to be worried about the injury anymore.
No, unless he shows up on the injury report at the end of the week, or he should be fine.
Keep your eyes peeled for that. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to bring this up sort of in general too, to say, like, people tend to react really, really harshly to this kind of news about, like, uncertainty.
Yeah.
Sometimes when people are talented, you just have to roll with the uncertainty and just accept the results of what happened, because the ceiling is so much higher.
The ceiling is so much higher. I mean, I kind of get that nervousness. It's the end of the year. You're trying to make it into the playoffs.
Yeah.
There's 2 weeks left, or, going into the third, third to the last week, and you need all the wins you can get, probably. And what if he starts the game and he tweaks his ankle in the first drive and he doesn't play and you get a half a point or something? I mean, that can happen.
That can happen to any player. That can happen to someone who's anybody. Been healthy all year,
Of
course. So it's tough. But I mean, I understand it. But also at the same time, it's like, you're not playing Joe Mixon over Leonard Fournette.
No, you're not. If he's in the game, you're starting
him. Even though we have Mixon top 10, for example.
Yeah. You know who else you're starting? Mark Ingram.
And Alvin Kamara. Yeah.
He's killing it still. Again, Kamara had that awesome
that catch
bobbling.
Was so great.
And he had a 2-point conversion,
yep,
too,
yep,
which was also pretty sweet.
I watched a good amount of that game, too, mostly out of being upset at having not started Cousins, but that was a great comeback by the Saints at the end there, who were down by 15 points at one point in time. And Kamara and Ingram just looked absurd the whole game.
Yeah.
Totally incredible offense and
running,
I guess,
out of their minds.
Yeah. I guess playing like a championship team.
Yeah. It's New Orleans looks totally different.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a defense that actually works instead of being like one of the worst in the league. Now they're one of the best in the league. They got two running backs that are awesome.
Yeah.
Drew Brees doesn't have to carry the team every time.
Yep.
So I don't know.
They got
rid of
Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. I mean, well, maybe that's what the difference was.
I guess.
obviously not. The other running back tandem, McKinnon and Murray.
Yeah.
So
very confusing stuff going on here, I think.
Confusing. I don't know if it's that confusing. I mean, Mathbox has been highest on McKinnon all year.
Yep.
And has him at 10 this week without last week's scoring, and Murray lower at 25.
Yeah.
That should I'm not going to say they should be flipped. I think they actually be much closer.
Yeah.
They're splitting carries pretty evenly, and
that's what I didn't have in front of me, so I was curious about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they're both getting about 15. The difference is that Murray, at least this week, got 2 touchdowns,
yeah,
and he had about 100 yards.
Yeah.
So he was better overall by quite a bit. I mean, he had like 22 points. But the thing is, McKinnon is still involved.
Right.
And all it's going to take is him breaking one play. I mean, he's definitely the most explosive player, and he's a pass catcher. So for PPR, he's probably the guy you want.
Right.
You know, Murray isn't going to score 2 touchdowns every week.
Where are you slotting these guys in, though?
Like,
we, MathBox has McKinnon as a top, as a RB1.
No, oh, you mean, RB1. Where do I think they should be?
Like, yeah, like, are these guys low-end RB2s, high-end flexes? Is that where you feel comfortable if your team is composed so that you have them starting those spots, or what?
I think they're both startable. I think I would probably put Murray in the high RB2 slot.
Okay.
And McKinnon probably as a really good flex.
Okay.
Or
yeah,
RB2.
So we're pretty different on than MathBox.
Yeah.
On this.
No, I'm not really buying what MathBox is saying. Also, I will give Murray some respect. He had a touchdown run where he looked like Marshawn Lynch. Like, yeah, he was running. He was going to score a touchdown.
Right. He was just powering.
Yeah. He was defiant. So.
Yeah. I've always been a fan of Latavius Murray. Like, I've drafted many, many years on Oakland, and, you know, the results have been up and down, but he's a fun player.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. He can score touchdowns. That's his superpower.
Yeah.
So we'll leave it to that.
All right. Jay Ajayi. Dave's eyes just bulged out of his head when I said the name Jay Ajayi. So watched a good amount of this game too. I don't know what's going on as far as who's going to get what usage and when necessarily on the Eagles in the running game. It looks like they're just such a high powered. It's like one of those New England problems, mm-hmm, where it's like the offense is so high powered
there's too many guys.
They're just running people out there and doing stuff, and they're using them all as like super specialists. Like, Ajayi had one. I think he had something like 9 carries for 91, but his long run was 70 yards.
Yeah, 7 for 91. 11 points in PPR.
So, I mean, that's pretty disappointing for someone who's in the top. I mean, we were just saying that wasn't
now,
disappointing for
he would
for
take
Fournette
over the lead
to be 100.
Role. Yeah.
You know, and we're saying that it is disappointing for Ajayi to only have 90 yards, but I think it just felt a little bit like his grip on getting the carries and being productive is a little more tenuous right now.
I thought by now he'd be taking over.
Me too. So I would be keeping my eyes out. I would also be at this point, if they continue to play this way, like if LeGarrette Blount is somehow not rostered in your league, I would be taking a look at putting him back on my bench to keep an eye on things. There was another player who on Philadelphia whose name I have completely lost. I'm going to look him up really quick. Sorry.
Dead air Dave over here.
I know. I mean, there were two more. There was Corey Clement and Kenjin Barner, who also got around 10 points.
Oh, yeah, Clement,
each,
yeah.
I think he's in fantasy as well. Each one of them scored a touchdown. Looks like the Barner stuff was a little more fluky, but Clement had 6 for 50 and a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. I mean, I don't know. Are you going to add this guy too onto your bench?
No, probably not.
Probably not. So I think you keep rolling with Ajayi, but you definitely want to be looking for to make up for his volatility somewhere else in your running back position.
Speaking of volatility.
Yep.
New England.
Yep. Just thinking that too.
Yeah, yeah. I was pretty optimistic about these guys last week, all three of them. I actually said I wouldn't be surprised if they all scored 12 points. They did not. Deion Lewis pretty much took it. James White didn't do anything. Burkhead, didn't really do much. Caught a couple passes. So, despite that game being pretty much out of hand,
yeah,
you only really had one useful running back.
Yeah.
So, I would love it if I had some sort of crystal ball where I could just look into it and see what was going to happen with Patriots. I thought at least two of these three guys would be useful every week based on the volume of New England scoring. I don't want to be reactionary to one game because I think they were fairly consistent before this, but I don't know. The whole Rex Burkhead thing, and I just thought they would be better. So I don't know what to do about it. I'm kind of at a loss.
I think I'm definitely okay starting Deion Lewis.
Well, yeah, I think you can do that, but what do you do with the other guys?
You don't.
You think you sit them?
I mean, I think you sit Burkhead for sure. I think White, you're just keeping an eye on, and maybe he's your flex and you're taking a shot at it. Yeah. They do have a good matchup this week against Miami.
Yeah.
So
Burkhead is way down in MathBox rankings. So
yeah. Seems to me like it's down to White and Lewis. And I think if you're not, it's another one of these things where I think you want to try to look to make up for volatility in other positions. So if you have Lewis in there and you're like, hey, he could be awesome, or he could be, you know, get Belichicked basically. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to put a couple other people in. Yeah, get Belichicked.
Nice.
Maybe I need a couple of players who are going to be a little bit more stable in their scoring to make up for the fact that he might be at zero.
Yeah, I buy that. You know who also might be a zero?
Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
We got him at 23 this week. I think it's going to be way worse than that,
hard
actually.
Pass.
Yeah, hard pass. I mean, I'd have him. I don't think he should be started in any league right now. Because like we were saying before, he needs a ton of volume. His yards per carry, which is a terrible metric to judge a running back by.
Right.
But is very low, like 1.6 or something. So
you know the way that you say that, in a way that doesn't get the people who hate stats angry, you say he's very inefficient.
He is very inefficient.
Yeah.
And he didn't do anything this week. So
or the week before.
Or the week before. And in week 12 coming up, he's playing Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So they're a very good defense. And I just think you should avoid Adrian Peterson altogether.
I wholeheartedly agree. The thing is, like, if he even was to be someone who put up a consistent 7 points in your RB2 slot, that's not really enough.
No, it's
to
not.
Keep pace.
No,
so unless you have a true
12.
Yeah, it's like in the 10 to 12. 12 is like a good RB2. 10 is like a solid RB2.
Yeah.
7 is like, ugh, you better be making
He's
up
a flex
for it.
Guy.
At best. Yeah, he's a flex guy at best. You know who else I think is a flex guy at best is Orleans Darkwa, in spite of being a very kind of hip pickup. Basically, he gets about 70 yards a game. He doesn't seem to be scoring like that often. There weren't any touchdowns this
week. Well, because
they're not scoring that much. So I think that, again, this is someone who's like, hey, a great running back who gets me 100 yards rushing has a shot at touchdowns. I will take someone who basically gets 70 yards over and over again with no like additional bump out of other stuff. I'm not that interested in. So I'm pretty much going to be passing on. I mean, it's like flex.
Yeah.
I would feel good about having him on my team as a flex option so that I didn't have to play Isaiah Crowell or something like that. But
I'll buy that.
Yep. You want to talk about Amir Abdullah?
Sure.
Real quick.
Yeah. I started him in a league.
MathBox has got for him.
Yeah. It's all right. I mean, look, he's been pretty consistent. We were talking about, you know, what you need to score for your different positions. He's been right around 10, 11, 12 points for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a startable
guy. Pretty good
guy
for an RB2 or a flex.
Yeah, I know. It's true. MathBox has got him at 31. Maybe a little low on him, but
that's flexible, right?
Yeah,
there, though.
It's flex territory. He is going up against Minnesota next week, so maybe that's why.
Yep.
I'm a little worried about that. He's getting the volume. That's right. The thing. He's getting a bunch of carries. He's had double digit carries pretty much all season.
Yep.
He doesn't do very much with it.
I'll tell you the second most asked about person other than Fournette on Sunday when I was talking to people felt like it was Amir Abdullah.
Really?
Yeah. And I had a tough time.
He's one of those guys that's on the edge of your team that's like, oh man, every week, should I start this guy? He's going to give me something. Is it going to be enough?
I just have a tough time like forming much of an opinion about him other than, nah, you could do worse.
You could do worse.
You could be stuck with, Doug Martin, I guess, who's right next to him.
Another one of my least favorite running backs.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of a random name pull, but MathBox is pretty much out on Doug Martin too, by the way.
Yeah.
Number 32.
You know who everyone is going to be in on this week?
I do have a guess. It's your favorite.
Who is the number one running back pickup of week 12?
Who should be? Samaje Perine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. So we pretty much, well, I will say I dogged him last week because he was 33 in math box and ECRE was 34 or something like that.
Yeah.
Basically, even though he had the starting gig, no one really believed in him.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't done much.
Well, and Chris Thompson has been an option.
And Chris Thompson was there. And even though Rob Kelly's out for the year, like, okay, he's going to get the starting role. I didn't think he was going to do much with it. Neither did Mathbox. He surprised everybody.
Wrong.
Yeah, wrong. He scored almost 20 points. So he had 117 yards and a touchdown. Still, I think the industry and fantasy owners were out in general because he's not even like 30% owned.
Yeah.
So he's going to be the biggest pickup. The only other running back that I could find on their roster is this guy named Byron Marshall.
Right.
They signed like a week ago.
Okay.
When Kelly went down. So if you're looking for a real dark horse, maybe that guy. I doubt it though, because he probably doesn't even know the playbook. So P. Ryan, everyone's going to pick him up.
Yep. Try to get your waiver claims in as soon as possible.
I still don't know if I believe in it. I mean, he had one good game.
I mean, it's just he's just the last man standing on a good team.
Yeah, it's just a decent team. And it's desperation on fantasy teams. Yeah. It's like there's no good pickups. This week 12, there's no good pickups. This is a guy that is a pickup.
We have any thoughts on Tariq Cohen as a last little homer discussion here?
Bears. Probably not super relevant for. I probably wouldn't start him going forward. I did do a little research on Cohen this past week, and it sounds like they recognize his talent because he had such a good start at the beginning of the year, surprised a lot of people. But sounds like they don't trust him in pass protection. He doesn't know the offense as well as he needs to.
Right.
And Benny Cunningham has kind of taken his spot for pass protection and some other things. So
because I want to make sure that we protect Mitch Trubisky whenever he's going to pass the 12 times a game he's going to pass.
Yeah. No, they had like 35 pass attempts.
Did they really?
A week or two ago. No, it's not a high school offense anymore.
Wow.
Like it's like a
we moved up quickly.
Semi-respectable NFL offense-ish thing going on.
Well, there you go.
So,
yeah. So Tariq Cohen, even though he had a reasonable fantasy week this week,
good diving touchdown.
Yeah,
it's pretty fun to watch.
I would.
He's talented.
I would just enjoy him instead of trying to start him.
Yeah, don't. He's a next year guy, I think.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. All right, so halfway through this Thanksgiving feast, and it's time to talk about wide receivers.
Let's do it. What do you got?
So not a whole lot on wide receivers this week. I think it's worth noting that Antonio Brown is awesome.
I think he's awesome.
And he's number one on our ranks even before the stats from this week come in, confirming his awesomeness.
He had 1.5 million points.
Yes, exactly. And he's got a great matchup this week against Green Bay. And so you should continue to feel great about teams that have Antonio Brown on them.
Yeah.
Unless you lose, like, one of the people I beat this week had Antonio Brown. I still beat him. Ha-ha.
Very nice.
Anyway, the rest of the top 10, pretty standard, although Brandon Cooks moved back into the top 10 going into next week, even without the stats from this week's game. It's pretty interesting to see. I think he's kind of a boom-bust guy and kind of regret drafting him on as many teams as I did just because the scoring is not super stable. But when he scores, he sure scores.
He blows up.
Yeah. Adam Thielen.
Yeah, man. Just doing it.
It's time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's Thielen time.
You are starting him every single week.
I'm feeling really good about this right now.
Did you just come up with that? Are you thinking about that all day?
No, I've not been thinking about it
all day. You thought about that on the car ride home.
I really didn't.
You're like, oh, I'm totally going to try that.
No, I was just thinking about my baby crying in the back seat when I'm driving home. Yeah. You're keeping
real
that in.
Good.
I'm feeling good about him as a number one wide receiver these days. I don't have him on a single team, but I think he's just an always start now, and he's going to be higher than Diggs for the way that this offense is working, and it is what it is.
I'm still going to be starting Diggs, though. I still believe in him.
Diggs is wide receiver two. I think Thielen's just wide receiver one. Like, that, it is what it is. It's great to see a probably universally thought of as mediocre quarterback having two eminently startable wide receivers on his team.
Mm-hmm. He had a great touchdown. He caught a short pass and just did a little twirl and just outran everybody.
Boom.
It was beautiful.
There you go.
Dude is fast.
Now it's time for you to talk about Keenan Allen.
I don't want to talk about Keenan Allen because I still think I'm right.
You still think you're right? All in?
Well, Okay, so what I said last week was that he deserves his spot to be fairly low because he wasn't really getting opportunities. Like, right. he's been fine in PPR because he's catching 5 or 6 balls a game. So he's got, he's been consistently around 10 points. So whatever.
That's wide receiver 2-ish. Maybe even worse than that. Maybe, yeah.
Barely. Flex. Like,
yeah. So in your mind, that person should be wide receiver 24-ish.
Something like that. Yeah. But in this week's game, in week 11, he had 13 targets and caught 12 balls and a couple touchdowns or something. Right. So, look, it's a total outlier of a statistical week for him. Is that going to continue? I mean, I hope you started him if you had him.
Right.
But there was no indication that this was coming as far as I could tell.
But what you're really saying is you hope that our listeners started him as a wide receiver 2 or flex and not as their wide receiver 1, even though he put up 40 points.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's fair.
I don't know if he's going to continue or not. I mean, it just seems it just depends on his opportunities.
Yeah. He's got, good matchup against Dallas this week.
So you're probably starting him.
You're definitely starting. Off of a 40 point week. I mean, think about how many people started Amari Cooper after he put up 40 and he hasn't done anything since
then. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is that point chasing?
Yeah.
It feels like point chasing.
Well, it's...
Amari Cooper is a physically talented receiver. So is Stephon Diggs. Or who are we talking about? Keenan Allen. I'm looking at the wrong sheet.
Yeah.
We know he's good.
Right.
Is he going to get the opportunities again? It's all about situation.
He's going to be enough to be a top 25 wide receiver.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So, let's see, who do I hate within our top 25 still? How about, let's talk about Green Bay just one more time.
Oh, do we have to again?
Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, just don't start again. Him. No.
Unstartable.
Unstartable. Completely unstartable. I don't care what Mathbox says. It just hasn't caught up.
Turns out, it looks like Davante Adams is startable in this new weird Brett Hundley era, though.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Shorter passes. Easier to complete.
I think so.
Yeah. What do you have? 8 for 60 or something like that?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, he was all right. You can start him, but don't expect too much. I mean, they're playing against Pittsburgh in week 12. That's a really good defense. I would try to start other people if I could, but, depends on who you got.
And then I think the last couple of things we could talk about are, I'm looking for another pretender kind of in the top 25. I don't really see it. I mean, Marvin Jones had a good game last week. We talked about him as a potential streaming option.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Devontae Parker a little bit. We talked about Marquise Lee last week. He's got a good matchup coming into this week against the number 29 defense in Arizona. I think that a lot of the streamers are the same. Unfortunately, what that means is our pickups are looking very slim this week for wide receivers.
I'm not really seeing anybody that's great.
Spot start, honestly, what keeps happening when I look at Mathbox for spot starts is down around 40 or Willie Snead and Ted Ginn. Mm-hmm. And maybe Ginn at this point is totally owned, but I keep looking at Ginn and going, he seems like he's good enough to have on your roster if you need to take a shot on somebody. Marquise Goodwin is maybe somebody else you could look at. Bad matchup, but we do have Beathard with a pretty good quarterback projection, so maybe there's some kind of magic going on
I don't know.
But I'm reaching for people to make it into your flex spot at wide receiver.
That
basically
is desperation mode.
Yep. Sometimes you are desperate. Sometimes you're sitting there after finishing eating turkey and you realize that you need somebody to fill in your flex spot and it's time to get to work before the trip to fan sets in and you pass out on your grandma's couch.
Because Sterling Shepard has a migraine and he's not going to start.
Yeah, unfortunately that happened this week. He should be back this week. So
prime opportunity.
It's interesting when they put injury on stuff like that. That's really just illness.
Yeah.
So I don't think that should keep him out for an extended period. But other than that, wide receivers looking pretty boring this week.
Yep.
All right. As we shut it down, we got a couple of names to talk about at tight ends this week. The projections themselves look pretty boring, kind of like wide receiver, but I think it's mostly just because the top options here have really settled in.
Mm-hmm.
And, they just are who they are. It's Kelsey, Gronk, Ertz, Graham. That's one tier, essentially. And then you have everybody else who's just a bunch of slot machines. I mean, is that wrong?
I don't know if it's that bad, but
it's that bad.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of people that you would expect to be good that just have actually just kind of taken a nosedive lately. I mean, I would probably say Vernon Davis has been pretty much fine in Jordan Reed's absence, but like, you know,
Jordan Reed's never existence.
Never existence this season.
This season, basically.
You know, Jack Doyle's coming back off bye. He's been very consistent, so you're probably plugging him back in. We kind of expected Charles Clay to do something.
Yeah, and he didn't.
But he hasn't, you know, for two games being back.
Well, let's see what happens with the I think that the Peterman problem took a little bit of air out of Clay last week.
So yeah, let's ignore that and just see what happens this coming week. But I think the point is, like, you're probably not starting Clay.
I think that's totally untrue. Like, my experience. So I'm streaming tons of tight ends in the leagues that I'm in right now. I only have one league where I have a solid guy. I have Kelsey in one league.
Okay.
In all my other leagues, I am constantly searching around for people.
You're just throwing darts.
I had to start Jermaine Gresham in a league this week because there wasn't anybody higher available on the waiver wire.
Yeah. I have a league where there is literally no one and I'm having to start Hunter Henry every week because
that's better than Jermaine Gresham.
No, it's not. Cause he's had like 2 points for like, he's not doing anything.
I don't know.
So Jermaine Gresham, that's pretty bad.
It's really bad.
But like Cameron Brate has kind of disappeared.
Yep.
Like Evan Ingram had a terrible game last week because of that weird game. So,
great matchup this week for tight ends though. Vernon Davis versus Evan Ingram in the New York Giants versus Washington matchup are both very good matchups for tight ends. So I would feel pretty good about both of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But there's not much else.
Well, there is one name on there that I think is actually a pickup this week that I will be taking a shot on if I can find them.
Okay.
And that is my old friend, my old hype boy from like 5 years ago, Julius Thomas.
Yeah.
On Miami in a good matchup against New England.
Yeah, Mr. Touchdown Dependent.
I mean, he definitely is, but
he's caught two in the last three games.
He's got his moments. Like you said, he's caught two in his last three games. MathBox likes him this week.
Yeah.
And I am desperate to not start
Jermaine Gresham
again.
I mean, MathBox has him at 8, like you said, starting against New England, 21st against tight ends. So not a bad matchup. I don't know. I mean, I guess if you have to do it, I mean, there's only a couple of consistent options at tight end this year anyways, like we
said. That's why I said the rest of them are slot machines.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you're kind of throwing darts. So I guess Julius Thomas is a decent enough dart.
For streaming.
Yeah, for streaming.
For this week only.
Yep.
Yep. And that's it.
That's our pod. That's our emergency podcast.
Yeah, emergency Thanksgiving podcast feast. We hope you you enjoy your couple days off. We're going to be kind of intermittently around. We're going to take a look at publishing rankings this week. We'll definitely put up some kind of projections article. It may or may not have all the analysis that we do week over week of the picks once we get to the real projections. But we'll just kind of see how it goes from here. We are not going to put out a waiver wire podcast this week or article probably this week. But you can always hit us up on Twitter if you want to talk. It seems like that's the place where we're getting the most traction as far as discussion goes. So, you know, at Fantasy Outliers, we can answer questions about waivers. We can answer suggestions. You can answer with suggestions. You can give us a follow and we'll be putting little snippets of content out over the next few days. And that's kind of how it works. That's the best place to find us. If you want to find the rankings, once that article is out, it will be at ranks.fantasyoutliers.com. Once the projections are ready, they will be at projections.fantasyoutliers.com. And you can find all of our articles at articles.fantasyoutliers.com.
Got it?
Got it. It's pretty simple.
Pretty easy.
Yeah. That's it for this week. And we, you know, we hope that you get all of your Thanksgiving wishes. Dave and I have talked about this before, and I meant to talk about it earlier, but I always feel like the Thanksgiving games are always pivotal for my fantasy season. Like every year, I feel I feel like I'm always like sitting there trying to will Tony Romo into doing something for crying out loud to save my 6-5 team from falling out of the playoffs.
Yeah, this is go time. Like in a couple of our leagues, like it's really competitive. Like one game will swing you in or out. So there's like a bunch of people that are near 50-50. So
and I feel like it's It's always that way. So enjoy it. The regular season's coming to end, and good luck.
Bye.
Bye.